CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to this amazing event, and it's such a beautiful day. And everybody was worried it was going to be raining and it's too late and summer's over, but it looks like a pool party out there, so it's looking terrific. And I want to welcome Monet here because obviously it's you and your team that put all of this together, and you are here to announce a couple of really, really cool and important new developments in terms of travel IT. So first and foremost, welcome.
Thanks, Gareth. Thank you very much, and thanks for hosting us at your home. I think this gives everybody a new perspective on working from home. These are your offices, but you've turned it into that concept that it's got that homely feeling. So thank you very much for inviting us to your home.
Well, listen, I mean, as much as we talk about home, really what you guys do is take people out of their homes and you take them to amazing places all over the world, and you allow those people in the travel industry to do what they're doing in a more efficient way, to get everything they need in one place. And really, that's what I think we need to talk about. So for people who are not here, who may be listening to this later on, and for the people who've already heard it and may still have some questions, just tell us about the latest developments. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be paying attention to what you've been doing with Travel IT. You've made it a lot easier for people to do everything in one place. And that, to me, has got better and better every time there's a new iteration. So that's more or less what you're doing today, right?
Exactly. So, you know, for us, it's important to stay on top of our game. You know, what's happening in the travel space, you can read a lot, you can see a lot, but when you start experiencing it yourself, that's when you really get to understand what it's about. Philip, myself, and a couple of the team just returned from France, where we actually went and looked at a couple of the new ideas that's happening out there in the market. And yes, everybody sells you the 1, 2, 3-year, 4-year roadmaps. But what we decided to do is to really say, okay, cool, what is relevant today? What can we take from that, incorporate it into our technology, into our systems today? What is relevant for our people, for our customers? And that's what's key to us. And I think that's what we've done through Travel IT. Every couple of months, we do these releases. And this is obviously a first one that we're doing with you. There will be many for us still to come. But the intention is to say, you know, let's just highlight a few small things that's going to happen. You know, people talk about NDC. Philip just fobbed off NDC. NDC has been something that's been coming for 11 years. But what is NDC? Well, exactly that. What is it? Because no one really understands or knows what it's going to do. But in a nutshell, what it's supposed to do for the customer, it's supposed to give you a lot more options, it's supposed to give you a lot more flexibility, it's supposed to make it easy for you to do certain things. Purchase additional luggage, upsell, downsell, extra legroom, all of those great things need to be at the tip of your fingers. And they say that they're creating the standard. Well, there's so many airlines and players in the market. To have a standard for everybody to comply with that, and I think that's where the difficulty is. That standard's not being applied across the board. Every other airline's got a different version.
Yeah.
So what we do is we're trying to take that pain out of everybody's hands and saying, cool, whatever's new and great on NDC, whichever airline is ready to do it, we'll incorporate it in Travel IT in one place to make it easy for you. More importantly, what we try and do is it's not just utilizing our technology with all the info in, but it is really saying, if something goes wrong, what do I do?
Oh, right.
And not knocking any one of our suppliers. I mean, we've got great suppliers. This event wouldn't have been possible without them. And we've got a great relationship with our suppliers and we work with them and not against them. But, you know, if something goes wrong, their call centers will be inundated. Let's say, for example, the strike over the last weekend in France. So calls are inundated with flight delays, passengers changing, and you can wait anything up to 5 hours to get your call.
And this stuff happens more than people like to admit.
Exactly. So what we do is we say, cool, you've done the booking, we've put everything in your hands, you've done it yourself, but you're backed up by a team that you can contact, your team, in a sense, your customer.
Okay, so that's the important thing here, is a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just go on the internet, I'll find a flight by going to this airline's website, or I'll go on to one of these travel sites where you can find them. They line them all up by price, but you don't get a whole lot of detail. And then when you've made the booking, it's very hard to make any changes to it. Then you go to hotels or whatever and you try to find accommodation. Then you want to book a car. So it's a complicated thing. It's going to take you at least half an hour to do all of this. You're saying the best way to do it is here because it's all in one. You do it once and there are people who can help you if things go wrong.
And I think that's the critical element. We want to give you a one-stop shop. This is really creating a one-stop shop for you with support after, pre and post. So, you know, pre is easy. Before I travel, it's cool. I need to make sure my ducks in a row. But when things go wrong, that's when I need it most. Because things generally don't go wrong when I'm at a holiday destination and I can spend another week there, all things paid by a supplier or something. Like, things go wrong when our critical business meetings are about to happen. I need to close a deal. I've got an illness in the family. Something critical like that. That's Murphy. It always happens at
or
the wrong time.
The accountants are after the slips. Correct. And again, that's all on the system.
Exactly. So, you know, if we talk expense management, the updates that you've got there, I use our product myself. So, you know, for me, it's very easy. I'm ADHD at the best of times. So I do things on the fly. And the worst thing is when I get back, my secretary says, well, where are all your slips? Well, what the hell? I got so trashed on Friday evening. You know, it might be work, but I still try and get a bit of fun in there. And the customers or the suppliers that you're visiting, they've been waiting for you, so they want a party. So, you know, you might have a couple of drinks too many, and who knows where that slip is. So now it makes it really easy for me. I pay the bill. I take a photo of that slip at that point in time. I upload it into my expense management. Bob's your uncle, done. Roll it up, chuck it away.
Just by the way, I mean, obviously a lot of your work has to do with travel, so it's a lot of work stuff, but even if you travel on your own or you do it with family, you use the same system.
100%. You can do all of that with it because, one, maybe you want to take care of your budget. You want to know exactly what you spend certain things about. Or you went into a show and you want to create memorable moments. Everything now is digitized. So we're moving away from that old traditional photo album to saying, I've got to digitize those. Well, we've got an opportunity for you to digitize everything on the fly.
Right. Okay. So just tell me from a purely curious point of view here, because a lot of people are looking at your front end and it looks terrific. And you, as you know, we were hearing just now, it's all this content that's new as well. And there's plenty of new behind the scenes technology going on. But how complicated is that back end? Because you've got hundreds of suppliers, you've got all kinds of information. I mean, it must be a really complex thing to have tied all of this together, just so we know.
Look, it is hectic. So we have some 21 permanent developers on our tech. So just so people understand, they are in our offices, on site, on hand all the time. And most probably the best part of 100 people that contribute towards all of their tech at any given point in time, be it an outsourced person from a supplier, a tech person from a supplier that's getting that aggregation or the connection into play. So it's quite complex from that perspective. I mean, we think, you know, everybody says, yeah, you know, you're doing a transaction and let's say you're charging me $20 for the transaction. That's what the money went towards is you doing that transaction. No, the best part of the money went to all of this in the back end, the expensive things. I mean, anybody knows what a developer is costing now. I'm looking for another 10 decent ones if you can get them to me.
Sure.
And I promise you, some of our developers earn a lot more than my exco members. Some of the developers, if I can get a quality one, you know, I'll pay them my salary. You look at what really good technological minds out there make. Take the Elon Musk, for example. That's a tech mind that you're talking about. So those guys come at a massive demand. And
but
it is quite expensive.
You need them and they can fix things on the job as it's happening.
Correct.
So if you encounter, and you're always going to encounter new problems, but you've got a team of people here who can take care of it. Because I think one of the things that frustrates people now, I say this as just an ordinary traveler, is that a lot of the stuff, sure, the internet can handle it, right? And you can take care of and charge of your own stuff. But when you get stuck, you need to talk to a person sometimes. And in many of these situations, that's impossible. You have to email or you have to hope for a reply on a send button or something. That's a disaster. If you're stuck in an airport somewhere, you don't need this.
Exactly. So I think, you know, we made it easy for a lot of the simple things. So our chatbot's live. Mm. Yes, it's got specific menus and people say, well, why don't we just make it agnostic like a GPT chat that you can ask anything to? But then you're also going to get any answer.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a Wikipedia answer. So we said, no, let's rather take the real travel pain points, make it quick and easy for them to use a chatbot. At any given point in time, when you feel that the chatbot is taking too long, you're getting frustrated with the info that it's giving you, click on there and you'll get an immediate help from a consultant and you will speak to a human being. Sometimes when you're in chaos, a system cannot understand that. That's
right.
The one that people say to me, you know, is travel going to, you know, people are going to disappear out of travel? No. Good travel consultants become more important because they will work when we need them to, when things go wrong, when I've got the complex itineraries, when I want to do something interesting, because tech can only work on what someone's told it to do. So if you haven't thought about something or you haven't thought about a problem or a problem, haven't experienced a problem, and someone hasn't coded that into the tech, well, that's never going to give you the answer that you want.
And you guys are always beta testing this to make sure that there are any things you can iron out in advance. You use it for your own purposes. You use it for company purposes. Are there any things that you still have to crack? I mean, this is, You know, it's never all done. Are there things that are still on your agenda that may make everybody's life even easier that you've got on the kind of vision board?
Look, I think the one thing that is always out there is where people say to you, I can get this flight cheaper there.
No.
Okay, so that's always the old thing. Well, I can get that flight cheaper there. Yes, you could, and that special is always going to be there. I mean, let's pick an age-old one, Edgar's, for example. We got an Edgar's Red Anger sale. But let me tell you now, there are not a lot of extra large shirts available, or large shirts for that matter, because the majority of South Africans are built like me, not like you. So they're built like me, so I never find the size that I want. So the same thing applies. You know, there's that one or two seats that come out cheaply, and customers think that I must give them that price all the time. Those things come with massive restrictions, the size for one, you know, so I'm not going to get that extra large.
Sure.
So pick what you get at that point in time. And when something goes wrong, well, don't ask us to help you because that thing cannot
be changed.
You get
what you pay for.
So our intention is to say, you know, we're going to give you value for money. Of course, we want to have the cheapest service as well. And if the cheapest works for you on the day, cool bananas. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go and do it. But rather take the value for money option because in the long run, it's always going to serve you better. It's going to support you better. And you've got to look at your total cost saving over an extended period of time, not just on every single transaction. There's Afrikaans saying, goedkoop koop is duurkoop. How often have we fallen into that trap?
Oh, yeah. And then you suddenly find yourself paying an extra 300 rand for this, and you choose your seat, then it's another 30 rand here. You know how these things go.
You know, for me, the most amazing thing is, and I think, you know, both EasyJet, Ryanair, they are brilliant concepts. And yes, they are real low-cost carriers. But for those of you that haven't traveled them, sometimes your experience can be amazing. Like you get an airfare for £20. So I get my airfare for £20, and I took it. I had to go and try and experience all of those things. Got my airfare for £20, got to the airport, checked in, now I want my boarding pass. Well, surprise, surprise, I can't get my boarding pass. You got to go to the counter and pay £20 for them to print out your boarding pass because that's how they've now added
T's and C's.
The T's and C's, 100%. Or I've added, I've got hand luggage. I pay extra for the hand luggage. You don't get it for free.
Right.
So I paid for my 7 kg hand luggage. Well, there's no space for my 7 kg hand luggage. And I've got to put it under my seat that is already so small that I can't get my normal South African size body into, and I've got to put my luggage below that seat as well. So all of a sudden, my ticket that was supposed to be £20 didn't just become with a massive frustration, but it was more than double the cost before I even entered the aircraft.
Right. It would be a waste of my and your time if I didn't ask you a couple other questions that are unrelated, but we can come back to this in a second. First of all, with there are a lot less airlines in South Africa. There are a lot less flights available. How's that impacted things? Or are we getting back to normal in inverted commas? How is travel doing generally? I mean, you've got like a bird's eye view.
So, you know, right after COVID, I wrote a couple of articles and responded to certain comments. And people said to me, you know, is travel going to get back to where it was? And people said 2024, 25, maybe 2028 is where normally it's going to be. And all those articles, and I didn't have a crystal ball and hard science, a perfect science. But I said within 18 months to 2.5 years, it will be back. I've unfortunately been in travel since my article days. And so I've looked at these bell curves, accountant by trade, you know, as I say, unfortunately,
you analyze
I like the numbers.
Right.
So if I look at those normal bell curves, what goes up comes down. And after every disaster, that's what happened.
Within recovery.
18 months to 2.5 years after that, it hit its next peak. So why would it not have happened this time around? So I think let's take South Africa. In South Africa, yes, we still have a slight drop in demand from a seat capacity. But on certain routes, Joburg, Cape Town, back to normality in terms of capacity.
Really?
But you know what's unfortunately happened is travel has increased more. More people want to travel more regularly. So what is a big thing that's happened? You know, we send people to jail if you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we got put in jail for quite some time.
Yep.
And what happened on the first day when they said to Cape Town, you guys are now allowed to go and run on the promenade? They thought everybody's going to say, Gareth, you're running at 6. Mona, you're running at 6:05. And Charlene, you're running at 8:00. No, open those doors and run like hell. And it was chaos. Okay, similar type of thing happened.
Right.
We're all caged up. Now it's time for us to travel and everybody's starting to travel again. So I think the demand is definitely outstripping the supply at the moment. So domestically, all the carriers are increasing. No one thought that the demise of Comair with Kulula and BA Comair was going to happen. So that knocked our market even further. If that didn't happen, I think we would have been back to normality already, in all honesty. But the carriers that we've got there, Lyft, Samair, SAFE, you know, Airlink, they've increased their capacity substantially. They've got new planes coming on board. They've got newer equipment with better aircraft, better seating coming on board. So I think, you know, South Africa is almost where we need to be. And it is going to improve. But their travel demand is becoming more and more. What is also quite interesting from a travel demand, I can now work from everybody. We're joking about your home being your work being your home.
Anywhere you
I
want.
I can work from anywhere. So now I can go on a trip with my family for the weekend, and that can be my office as well. So it gives me opportunity to do multitask, to do two things at once. And maybe, yes, half of the travel cost the company is going to cop now and the rest of it as a holiday.
But that also that's why this Travel IT is such a useful product, because you can put all that stuff in.
Exactly.
And you can figure it out, and it does a lot of the work for you, which is, I think, the most important part of this whole discussion.
Exactly. And I think internationally, I think, you know, if you look at the amount of flights coming in, we're more or less there. More or less with a number of flights.
Okay.
The problem is the seat capacity on the flights. A lot of the airlines are making their aircraft a lot more fuel efficient. Flying two-engine aircraft in Joburg is quite difficult, and it burns a lot of fuel, not just from the environmental perspective.
Altitude,
taking off from Joburg is very intensive on the fuel cost. So bringing in the two-engine aircraft, obviously they've got to have lighter capacity and lower loads. And that's the problem, that you might see that all those flights are back, but the seats aren't back yet. But if we have a look at it, leading up now, a number of our suppliers, BA International, have increased their capacity big time. And we know it's a quality airline. No matter where you go, you're going to get it. No matter which country you fly, BA, you get BA, and they treat you that way. So they're increasing capacity big time into our market. Emirates have added additional flights. And so all of those international carriers, as they get new aircraft become available, and their crews get trained, because it was a big thing with our airlines, and the crews also didn't travel, the pilots didn't travel.
Out of practice,
they reduced the capacity, and now they've got to get them back.
I think controversially also, what you're saying here is there may even be room for more.
100%.
Like someone who's brave enough to start airline, Lyft started just a short while ago, Semair is obviously doing very well, but there's room.
There's demand, right? I think we have got a jewel that we don't understand. I've had all the opportunity in my life to go overseas and to immigrate. And every single time I walk back through the Oatambo, like yesterday morning, and I see those colored tiles, and those that you don't know, it's actually the color of our flag. But you walk on there and I say, thank God I'm home.
Yeah.
People think, France was so fantastic, and Nice is spectacular, and Cannes cool. Yes, but it's not home. So we've got this amazing gem that we need to promote and sell a hell of a lot more. So I'm quite happy that the Tottenham Hotspur deal got canned. I'm just hoping that billion rand gets used in the right areas to bring those passengers into South Africa, because we need to bring a lot more aircraft in here. Bring in more international carriers in here. That'll increase and I'm yet to find, yes, of course, we've got that odd issue that happens, or a tourist that's got
unfortunate,
but all over the world that happens. So I think we just make it a bigger story than that. But for more than that, 99.9999% of people that come to South Africa for the first time will return and go and portray a positive picture. Why are we not doing that? Bring these people to our country. We need them.
So it was a pretty visionary move for you to start thinking from a technological point of view about how travel is going to go, and for you to build this platform, which is working really well for all of your clients, and you want to bring more people onto it. More businesses are going to use it. More individuals are going to use it. It's there and it works. What is the next thing, do you think? Because you're always looking forward, always figuring out what the lay of the land is. And you came up with this, and now this bridge has almost been crossed. What's the next bridge?
Look, I think for us, that's quite an interesting one. You know, am I going to be able to do my bookings, on the fly? I think, next interesting thing is how are we going to incorporate everything a lot more seamlessly? So rather than just have the ability to do all of my bookings and my transactions.
Just by the way, is that a people thing or a tech thing?
Both, because you need the people to develop the tech,
right,
and you need the people to support the tech when it's there. So let's say from a tech perspective, I've got this great platform, great tech, great app. I've got to have 20, 30, 40 different apps on my travel. Now, bringing all of that into one. Putting my room key, by the time that I've left, I can check in now already. I know my flights. I'm on the flight. I can check into my hotel now. They can send me my room key directly into my app. One place, put it into the app. Sure. The car key of my rent, a car rental I'm going to get there. I don't have to go and stand in the kiosk. It's prepaid. They know who I am. Send me that e-car key. I go and tap on the car. So amazing. Those are the type of things. You know, mobility is going to be there. We do everything on the fly on our mobile phones. So we're going to try and say, how do we take more of that, make it easier for you to utilize in one place? And don't forget, you've got that people backup. And you're talking to an app.
All right, this is amazing. Again, I want to welcome everybody who's already here and to thank everybody for coming. I hope they're all busy schmoozing and networking and sharing ideas and getting lots of business going. But again, congratulations on what you've built here. I think it is worth making a noise about. And for the people who already know about it, they just got to keep on using it and test out everything that you can on it. Change things. You can do this at the last minute. You can make things happen. It's the way travel should be.
Thanks, Gareth. And to you and your team and your fantastic officers.
Sure.
And for those people that haven't seen it, come and have an event here. Get in touch with Gareth. Get some podcast going. It really, really is spectacular. Thanks for hosting
us. No, what a pleasure.
I'm sure our customers are going to have a great day.
I look forward to us doing a whole lot more. Thanks, Monet.
Cheers. CliffCentral.com.